I have a family myself. My husband works in the business sector. He's a business consultant. And we've been married for, actually I don't really remember. We were married in 1991. Yeah. He never make a big celebration with me during our anniversary. That's why I usually forget. And I have two sons. They are twins. Now they are 21. Both of them are in universities. They are doing engineering. Yeah, different kinds of engineering. Because they are just a typical guy. We'll talk about what's a typical guy like and what's a typical girl is like. And yeah, I came from Hong Kong. I grew up in Hong Kong. I was educated in Hong Kong. I just went to the UK for like 2 years of master degree. I did an MBA there. But God did not use me in the business sector because He definitely He knows that I'm not that good with money. I can steward money well, but I cannot make money well. So as time progressed, He slowly changed me into someone who really desired His word, who really loved to minister for Him. That's why ultimately I went into the seminary, and ultimately I ventured into one of the most difficult areas in the kingdom. That is going into families and ministering to children and parents. And it's not easy at all, but I've been enjoying it. And despite all the mounting difficulties that I face, but I still see that this is something that we have to work very hard on. And I thank you for coming, mothers and a father. I have to give my hat off to you because you take the trouble to come. In a parenting association like that, you take the trouble to come, you want to learn, you want to hear about what the other people feel about parenting for the sake of your children and for the sake of our next generation. I really feel that it's an intentional effort on your part, because I don't see that all the parents in this world are so intentional, so concerned with parenting their children, but you are, and you are humble enough to get together to learn. I really appreciate a lot. Coming in to be your speaker doesn't mean that I am superior or I am in this area. I know more. That absolutely not. I am just as one of you. I'm a mother. I'm a wife. I'm a daughter. But God calls me to minister to families, and I just feel a burning passion to share with you. It's because of my calling, because of my passion, that's why I come in here, to share with you, not to indicate that I am better. I just let you know what I fail if I didn't do it that well, and my family members allow me to share with you, so I'll let you know how I didn't do well in certain areas. But I just want to learn from each other and let us understand that actually parenting is a job that we all have to learn at all times. So all of you understand that today we are talking about the complementary roles of a father and mother. And for the introduction, I have to let everyone understand that I know there are a lot of single parent families everywhere. I'm totally not surprised. And I'm totally neutral to this. Not that I am for single-parent family, but I understand that there are a lot of factors and variables that you cannot control and I cannot control. And definitely, it's not in God's goodwill for us to be like parenting our kids singly. But the reality is like this. I have been in a counseling program, and I have been working in a counseling clinic. I have worked with a lot of single parents, especially women, and I understand what difficult paths they go through, and I'm totally empathetic with them. Even though we are talking about the complementary roles of fathers and mothers, I still see that if you are a single parent, it won't deter you from trying your best to deliver the best to your children. Even though you may be parenting alone, I would still pray for you and hope that you will somehow get assistance or get help, get support from from friends you know, from your extended families, like your own parents or your siblings, so that we try our best to make the family a more complete unit for your children to live in. Do not feel bad. Do not feel that you are worse than others. Just hold your head up and tell yourself that with God's help, with your family, with your friends, with your brothers and sisters' help, you can make it through. This is my message to you. Okay, let's down to what we are going to talk about today. We are talking about complementary roles of father and mother. So father and mother, that means they are parents. They are not just men and women, right? And I need to use the clicker. So this is good. I am using it. Yeah, so these are fathers and mothers. They are parents. So they have a responsibility as parents. And the context is a family. Not that, oh, I'm a dad, how I'm going to behave out there. No, I'm talking about how you're going to behave in a family. And what you're doing, your function is to parent. That is, you have to discharge your role as a mother. As a father, not just as a woman or as a daughter. When you are with your parents, you can be a daughter. You can receive care. You can whine. At our age, you can still whine in front of our parents. But with your children, you are not a daughter. You are not a son. You are a father or a mother. So in this sense, I'm trying to deliver my view to you in a system. You see what a system means. Now, when it's so simple, when we are talking about a systemic view, that is, we look at our family as a system. Now, please don't take it negatively. You might think that, oh, I'm trying to put such a human thing into a mechanical thing. No, it's not anything mechanical. A system is an organic system. What I mean by organic, that is, it will grow, it will change, it will suffer, and it feels. There is a relationship. So we are talking about such a system. If we are not able to see it in a system, we are not able to distinguish what are our roles and what are our children's roles and what are other people's roles. So sometimes we see that sometimes there are families that are totally messed up. That is, the father doesn't know what the father's role is. The mother doesn't know what a mother's role is. And the mother tries to be a father, and she fails. And the father tries to be a son. Even if he's got married, he's still behaving like a son. So it's messed up. So we have to know these circles, at least, so that we try to see our roles in the system. Do you agree? Okay, we see the big circle, the blue one, as a unit. Okay, we have parents, no matter it's one or two, there should be no three. We are not in traditional China on a motif C. If we have more wives, that would be even more complicated. You can see that in the Bible. You look at Jacob. So we have the entire family with parents as one unit, that is the black circle. And then we have the kids, no matter you have one kid or four kids or 10 kids, the kids are kids. So don't treat them as a parent. Even if you have for example, there are families that have a daughter like 17 years old and then a youngest son like 5 years old. There are families like that. But usually I feel bad for the biggest girl. She would be a parent. And this is not healthy. So the kids should be kids. So at least in this family, we have these two small circles. Their parents and the kids. And you understand why I have to put them into two circles later on. So as I said, the parents are the spousal subsystem. There is a subsystem there. And then the kids, there is a subsystem. That is, inside a big system, there are two subsystems. And these two subsystems, what I mean is the smaller circles, they will interact with each other. But when they interact with each other, 当他们互动的时候,他们知道他们在做什么, they know what they are doing. Okay, when we talk about wudong dynamics, let's see how they work together. So husband and wife, they have their own dynamics. They fight, they are intimate, they talk together, they share together. That's why you become husband and wife. You don't talk with another person out there like that, right? So husband and wife. But if you're a single parent family, fine. You yourself is one subsystem. But I feel bad because you have to take up two roles. But I admire you because you're so brave and so capable that you take up two roles. And you remember that you belong to the parent subsystem. And it's just a little, not a little bit, there is some difference between a two-parent family. Okay, it's just husband and wife. No husband, no wife. It's not what I believe. And then you have the father-child dynamic. That is how a father is interacting with a son or a daughter. It's different, do you know? And the mother, the way a father interacts with a child and the way a mother interacts with a child is different. Do you agree? Some people would tell me that it's way different. And also there's a parent-child interaction. That is, you two together as husband-wife or you yourself as a single parent, you represent the entire unit and you work with your child in a way that you have to take your very personal view aside. That is, 你自己怎么想一件事? As a couple, 两公婆, 你们要有一个 united 的 stand. You know what I mean? You have to stand together, not to fight, but to parent. So we are talking about complementary roles. So we have to, now first of all, I'm very scientific in this way. We have to define our goal. 我们想怎么样? We want to strive for the well-being of our kids. This you won't disagree. When you talk about well-being, you're not talking about, my son has to be a doctor, or my daughter has to be a lawyer. No, you're not just talking about this. You can count that in as his or her well-being. But their well-being, I'm talking about moral. Do you want your kids to grow up with moral standards that's within the biblical truth? You want them to be moral people. You don't want to give the world some immoral kids. And then the well-being is also to do with psychological. Now today, the young people, they are bombarded with so much stress and pressure that a lot of them, including my own sons, they face psychological issues like anxiety, depression, and sometimes they are even born with a kind of deficiency. Not given enough sufficient care, they will worsen. So this is what I mean by psychological well-being. We have to make sure that they think and see the world in a positive sense so that they can grow up to be really happy and God-honoring young people. And we are also talking about emotional well-being. You don't want to rear up some kids. They are sad, they are bitter, they are angry all the time. There are tons of young people out there like that. It's all because of family. A lot of the factors are to do with family background. And of course, if they receive help in time, they can change. But I'm so sad to see that there are tons of people out there without good emotional well-being. And of course, and this I have not put it down, we want to raise them up in the biblical truth. And you want them to follow God's word, want them to identify themselves with the truth that you see in the Bible. So this is our goal. Any more goals you think we should put in? With our goals all set, we'll go ahead. I just want to ask you, what do you believe as the inherent roles of a father and mother? You tell me. 通常爸爸妈妈，通常父亲母亲他们是怎么样的？他们的角色是怎么样？ Can you tell me a bit from what you know? Of course, the mom is the person who gives birth. You won't dispute this. The mom is the person who nurses. 喂奶就是妈妈的工作，不是爸爸的。 What else are the roles? Now, since I see more female here, I'll ask the fathers first.
You have the father who is responsible for the financial aspect.
Okay.
The mom is responsible for the children. But
Takes up the nurturing, right? Thanks. This is good input. What about the another father? Do you see any other roles?
Maybe more on discipline.
Really? Okay. Do you discipline your sons?
Yeah. I mean, I think they are more afraid of me than.
Oh, really? Oh, good. Great. Great to know that. So, do the ladies agree, or you have other points to make? Feel free. Yeah. 对。嗯。对。那这个是传统的模式。对。对。这个我也同意。你们还有没有就讲其他的看法？Any other? Feel free. 你可以讲啲好 atypical, 好非典型嘅例子嘅。I think I'm not good trying to go for the traditional model.We have to open our mind to see what we can do, because the world is different, but the biblical truth is not different. So we have to follow the Bible in all our beliefs, but the Bible doesn't prescribe a woman to cook. Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. 还有其他？也看不起你。
对，
我看到很多例子，在这里我也看到。
在这儿也有，就是说，我的一个朋友离婚了，他的儿子居然讲：“妈妈，你没有本事，你活该。”
对对对，这个就是。
很惨的，我。
对。
其实他付出了很多，这个孩子其实都是他带大的，他跟男的也没管什么。
对。
到最后呢，因为他爸爸老在指责他的妈妈说：“你就是这个家里钱都是我赚的。”
I'm glad that you bring this up. You are right. Now our roles are very messed up. If we don't have a system, I was talking about system. If we don't have our recognized roles, 认定的角色, if we don't have these, we have no way to bring up our children in the right ethics, right morals, and right respect. And what happened in the story that this lady just told actually has a lot to do with how the father and the mother interact and how they see each other. That's why today I try my best to focus on how you two respect each other and how you play out your differences. Because in a couple, even if you are talking about two friends, you are different. If you are exactly the same, you won't be attracted to each other. Just because you are different, that's why you are attracted to each other. We'll go to that later. Yeah, thanks for your sharing. So we talk about the inherent roles of father and mother. So we understand that a parent couple consists of a man and a woman. So as I said just now, a man and a woman do have inherent differences. I don't think anyone would disagree that men and women are different. So what are the inherent cultural differences of a guy and a girl? Now, we have covered a bit about what our cultural 傳統的看法，就是男主外，女主內，男主外女主內，但現在是角色不同了，混亂了，世界變了， everything has changed. So, what are the culture? What do you know about the culture? 傳統上我們的中國人文化通常是怎樣的？ Can you tell me some, not talking about father and mother, we're talking about a girl and a boy, or a man and a woman. Any insight? Now, but in the past? Oh, yeah. Yeah, strong. Iron Man. 男人流血不流淚。咁女性呢？嗯哼，how many of you have sons? A lot of you have sons. Do you feel that your sons think this way? Or your sons would expect girls to be gentle, mild, sweet, but you don't know yet, probably, until they are older, right? And if you have daughters, how do they behave now? Do they behave really like a traditional girl? But they play soccer. Do any of your girls play soccer? Or at least play sport, not to talk about swimming. Swimming is like, a lot of parents would like their children to learn how to swim. But soccer, baseball, do your girls do that? Or you know of girls? Yeah. 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 So, traditionally, you mentioned that already, traditionally, we know our culture expects boys to be like Iron Man, and girl to be, you can cry. Or they expect you to be emotional. They expect you to be weaker. But physically, we are weaker. Women are weaker. So we have to recognize that. So when you talk about 平等, we have to be all equal. Yeah, we equal in some aspects, but we are not equal in some other aspects. We'll get down to that. So these are the men and women's characteristics. We've covered that already. Now, when we talk about the differences of men and women, husband and wife, boys and girls, I'd like to introduce you to a book. The book's name is called Men Are Like Waffles. You know what waffles look like. 格仔餅啊。然后女人就像这个意大利面 ,spaghetti. Do you know why? Can anyone guess why? Have anyone heard about this book? You have you read it? I do not completely read through it, but I have glimpses of it. This book actually is quite good, so I suggest that you can go to Amazon. Yeah, go to Amazon, or probably go to Amazon is the easiest. If you group together, you will exceed $35, and then you can just ask them to ship it to you. Yeah, why does this book's authors, Bill and Pam Farrell, say that men are like waffles? Why? When you look at the structure of the waffle, it's like checkers. So, the author is trying to tell us that men, they do things and think things this way. So they put things in boxes. So 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, therefore, for example, there are 9 boxes. Box 1 is my relationship with my wife. just like my husband. Before we got married, oh, we were so romantic, and he will carry me up the stairs in front of tons of people, and she would walk. He would walk with me at the seaside, and then we kiss, and then we talk. Oh, after we got married, done. Box number one, close. Box number two, back to work. I have my career. Box number two. So we struggled through a few years. Probably box number three, finance. Box number four, kids. But if he's in box number two, that is career, box number four, kids, will not be attended to. So this is how, now usually, I'm not trying to generalize. But psychologically, we can see that. And we witness that. How many of you agree? Not everyone, but a lot of you can see that. So guys, they think, now they are very systematic. They are very logical in some ways. And they are very analytical. So they think this way. So waffles. So once they are in one box, the other boxes are not yet done. So they will leave the boxes open. So sometimes you find that boys, they are kind of messy because they are not good at organizing. Or when they attend to this thing, the other things are not attended to. But for girls, it may be different. Yeah. Or when they close the box, they forgot about that already. I heard of a story that a mom told me that she was kind of not very good in health, so she only could make sandwiches for her son for lunch every day to bring to school. But her son got so bored of the sandwiches, so he wasn't eating at all. So he kept all the sandwiches in his closet. So every day from school, he would just dump the sandwich into the closet and put it there, and without attending to it. So after the entire year, when the mom would try to clean up his room, the mom found that there are tons of sandwiches, not eaten, rotten, in the closet. And the mom, of course, she felt very, very bad. The son never told her that, "Mom, I don't like your sandwiches." But her son is so housing, so dutiful, so kind that he never told mom that, "I don't like your sandwiches." So he just dumped the sandwiches there. But he never got to think about how I'm going to take care of these. At least you dump them out to a garbage bin, if not at home, somewhere in school. But he just forgot about this. So this is one way that guys do things, but the mom will think of tons of things. The spaghetti women, she will think, I have been a bad mom. So she tried to relay everything. How come that I didn't know that my son doesn't like my sandwiches? So she relayed everything and she overthinks. And she went into really bad mood. So this is how women think. For women, they're less spaghetti. When you look at a plate of spaghetti, when you pick out one noodle, you find that the noodle actually touches a lot of other noodles, even without a sauce. So that means when women do things, they think, they make decisions, they will be very, their eyes, 一眼观察, the eye sees a lot of things. Their mind think of a lot of things. Because if you tell me, I have to bring my son back from school today. But at the same time, she can multitask. I can drop by a bank before I pick up my son. I can go do this, do my laundry, and then I'll drop by my friend's house and got something from her. So in one trip, she can do five things. Because she remembers. And she tried to think that if I don't get this container back from my neighbor, I'll be unable to make this pudding tonight. She will think of things like this, all related. And you find that women are really good housekeepers. But I'm not precluding some men can do this. But they do it in a different way. But women usually will connect everything. But men won't. One funny example. Our family was about to go for a wedding one day, some years ago when my sons were still small. Then it's somewhere in Midtown. Before I went, my husband was driving. Before we went, I asked my husband, "Do you got a map down already? Do you know where it is?" My husband was kind of dismissing me because he thinks that I am a good map reader and I have a very good sense of direction. You don't have to remind me. So he said, "Don't worry, I can do it." So we drove there, and when we were turning into Side Street at Yang, okay, we were still on Yang. my husband immediately asked me, where's the church? I said, I thought you looked at the map already. We were not into that much Google at that time. We had no GPS at that time. We were able to look up Google for sure to find out the location. But since it's not me who's driving, so I would leave that job to my husband. He asked me, where's the church? I said, I didn't say anything. This is complimentary. You don't try to attack him in front of your sons. So I said, I thought you looked at that, so I can't help you. Sorry, honey. So I led him to find his way. So this is how we did things. Obviously, he did not look it up. And he was thinking that, okay, I will take care of him when I went there. But when he went there, it's not yet taken care of. And he cannot expect his wife to do it before for him. Now, if I do it, then I fall into a trap. And this is not good for your children. I'll explain to you later. So this is how men and women are different. You can disagree. If you have other comments, just give it to me now. Yeah, I'm not asking you to challenge me because I said to you, I'm still learning. But I think I agree with this book quite a bit. Yes? That's why we have this conclusion. 对，我完全同意，就是他 they think differently, they process emotion differently. That's why boys don't cry. Traditionally, parents ask boys not to cry, but I disagree. I ask my boys to cry. If you need that, go ahead. Yeah, they process emotions differently, no matter it's from tradition or from culture or from their character. They make decisions differently. Just like the church thing just now, we have to go for a wedding. So they make decisions differently. And they learn differently. And they solve problems differently. For me, I would like to make sure that I know where I'm going, so I will go confidently without having to take care of other things. But for some people, they'll just go there and then I'll find it out. Now, I tell you, even now, my sons, they are driving. They are doing the same thing. Not that they're not. Now, I'm glad that my sons already combine my good things and my husband's good things. He will look up and get prepared. And then he will just look once because my son is really good. He nearly has the photographic memory. So after looking at the map once, so he'll never forget. So then he'll just venture into the new place. So some men are different. Among them, they are different. But on the whole, they process things different and they make decisions different. But the thing is, what the book says is that the women and the men complement each other so perfectly. Otherwise, we won't get married. And they are supposed to have a healthy relationship. And the relationship be able to make a more complete picture. So this is complementarity of men and women. So we have to look at what God tells us in the Bible. How many of you know about Genesis, Chongsaige? The incident when God made Adam and Eve. You know about that? So in Genesis, God made Adam from the dust of the ground. Now, this is biblical. What the book said, actually, the complementary roles is biblical. In chapter 2, verse 7, it says, God made Adam from the dust of the ground. And for the first time, God said, it's not good. When God made all the other things like animals, trees, stars, moon, God said, it's good. By the end of the day, God said, it's good. But after he made Adam, he said, it's not good for him to be alone. So God's creation is not done. So what he did next, he made Eve. And Eve is supposed to be a helper. In verse 18, but a lot of people interpret the word helper in a very diminishing way. what I believe and what the Bible tells us is that helper is not defined in a comparative significance. That is, 你唔係比較性覺得佢係一個只係一個助手。It's not a 助手 in an authentic sense. But in terms of roles, why? Because when you look at Hebrew Bible, 原文聖經, it says the helper's definition, saying that it appears in other places like Psalm 33 and Psalm 121, if I don't remember wrong. The word helper, when the Psalm says God is your helper, it's the same word. So when God is a helper, are you saying that God is insignificant compared to you? No. So it's talking about the role. So when God made Eve, designing her to be a helper, she helps in a particular role that makes a man complete. So she's to be his counterpart and his complement. So this is what I understand from Genesis. So in Genesis 2, Eve was made from Adam. She's made from Adam's what? Bones. So, in the Bible it says, 佢係你骨中之骨，肉中之肉. She's made from his bone. So it signifies one thing. That is, the two are one. And that makes the man and woman complete. In this incident, this creation account, we see the completeness in a man and a woman. And we see the complementarity in man and woman. So it's in God's plan. Now, in the book's author's words, it says it's in God's plan to make men and women different from each other. From the moment he started to conceive a picture of men and women, so he wants the difference to be a starting point for us to build intimate, fulfilling relationships. But how come that men and women are fighting now? Because we are all sinners from the very beginning. We are selfish. We are self-centered. And we do not obey God. We are not submissive. And we are not loving enough. And we are not patient. That's why we mess things up. So we have a lot of frustration in our husband-wife interaction, in our life together. 相處上好多矛盾。So we can, from the Bible, we can see that men and women's complementarity, it actually is in God's design. It is good and it is in a relationship that enhances, enriches, rather than undermines us or frustrates us. So 整呢樣嘢出嚟唔係我哋搞到我哋一頭煙嘅，它不是想我們就是一头雾水，不知怎么样做。其实他想我们享受，他想我们就是 enjoy 享受着一个关系。It's a relationship based creation. And how do we build this relationship? The place to start is to look at our uniqueness. We are so different. So look at our uniqueness, and then you start to build a relationship. That's why a man and woman got married, because, oh, I see this in him, I see this in her, I like this in her. Because how come you like it so much? Because you don't have it. You know, I was always joking with a lot of people. When you get married and you are unhappy, you have to say one thing. You get what you want. Because before I got married, I tend to speak quite a bit among friends, because I'm very communicative and I'm very vocal. But when my husband appeared in front of me before we got married, oh, I like this guy. He's a Christian, he's godly, he's quiet. I think he's quiet. And he only speaks when he needs to speak. He only speaks when he wants to give him romance. So he's quiet. I like him. So this becomes my whine after. What I mean by whine is whining. I've been whining this after I got married, because he never responded to me. He's so quiet. So I got what I want. But I have to make this difference into something productive. I don't just whine and complain. It's one of my biggest complaints. No matter what I talk with him, I said, I need to talk with you about this. I need to lay it out on the table. We have to discuss. But he's just silent. He was in another box, probably. So I just couldn't make him speak. And he wants to stay in that box until he feels safe. Now, this is something we have to take note of. And it's also good for you to understand your children. If they don't speak, especially when they enter teenage, you chase after them and they don't speak, they're in a box. But they are not yet done in the box. So if you try to pull her out from the box or pull him out from the box, you fight with her. Don't try to do it. But wait until he or she feels safe. And it's your responsibility to make a safe environment for your children to come out of the box and to talk with you. So if they don't feel safe, they will never speak. So the insights, given all this difference, we have to look at what the insights we get from the differences of men and women. So when we need complementarity, when we try to achieve complementarity, we need something. We need to see it as a relationship. Husband, wife, father, mother, together with your son and daughter. It's a family. So we need to look at this complementarity in a family relationship. This is what God made us into, right? God wants us to build a family that's intimate, that's happy, that's God-honoring, that's harmonious, even though we are different. And we have to show each other our intention to communicate. But it's not showing it like chasing after your husband or chasing after your son or chasing after your daughter or even in some less obvious or less frequent cases, the husband can chase a wife. It's the other way around. The wife is very silent, but the husband wants to talk. He wants to sort things out in his way, but the wife doesn't want to. The wife feels threatened. The wife feels unsafe. So she doesn't want to speak. So it's the other way around. So each party can happen that one doesn't want to speak and one wants to speak more. So you have to show your intention to communicate, but in the right way. We'll talk about that later. We have to respect each other's uniqueness. I respect my husband's quietness. And I totally embrace his quietness. And I would invite him to speak if I feel that it's the right time for you to speak. And I'll just respectfully ask him, do you want to speak or you rather stay silent? So I have to respect him. And my husband has been giving me a lot of faith, I tell you. If he feels that I've spoken too much, he would just stay silent. And then go back home, he'll tell me, you can speak a little bit less. Yeah, it's among us, it's between us, so I won't mind, but if he shout at me in front of my kids, in some couples it will happen. That will be disastrous. That will backfire. If you find yourself different, it should be something for you to celebrate. If you are the same, even for your kids, they will feel boring. But if you find differences in you, you make the best out of it. What do I mean by it is that you respect each other's difference, but you are letting your sons and daughters see that, okay, we see we are different, but we can still live together. They're going to face it later. You see that we are different, but we are respecting each other. A good lesson for them to learn respect. We see that we are different. You may not need to agree. Now, I know that there are couples that in which one spouse is a believer and another spouse is not a believer. So this is hard because basically your fundamental difference is that one is in faith, one is not. But you can still parent. Not that you're compromising your faith. You want your son or your daughter to pick up the faith and walk this faith journey alone. But you find that you have a spouse that is not a believer. What are you going to do? You let your kids know that, okay, your father or mother is not yet a believer, but we still believe that God is good. One day God will have grace, have mercy upon our family. We want this spouse, we want your father or your mother to believe in Christ. So you have to live it in front of your kids that you respect this spouse, but at the same time you insist that God is the only way for you to be saved. And you live your way as a Christian in front of your kids. Of course, I'm not encouraging the single people to choose whoever to get married. If you are a believer, later on, if you are a believer, if your son or daughter is a believer, you have to tell him or tell her in a very early age that it's in God's design for us to be in Him. If you get married with a non-believer, you have a lot of consequences to take up. And I will not encourage that for sure. But if one day my son is really choosing a non-believer girl to get married with, I can only pray for him. But I will tell him beforehand. Actually, when they were four, I already told them. Because it's a nurturing. And now they totally agree. Even one of my sons was even so stubborn in saying that, I will never date a girl unless I think that I'm going to marry her. But his brother said, how are you going to know that you're going to marry her before you get to know her? But my son was saying, God will tell me. So he's even to this. He said, I'm never ever going to date a girl until I know that I have an intention to marry her. So that's so godly to me. So I will continue to pray for him and pray that God will guide him in the way that he wants to. Yeah. So this is something that I really have to learn or discuss with him more. Yeah. So you have to make constructive use of the differences. Don't be afraid to be different. But you have to live before your children that I know how to handle the difference maturely. Meaning complementarity is not like father and mother assuming two separate roles. So, Dad, you take care of finance. I'm not going to ask you anything. So, Mom, oh, you are responsible for nurturing. So, Dad is never touching any of the area that a mom is doing. It's what happened in traditional China. Do you see that? I saw that in a lot of old dramas or even the stories that my mom or my dad told me. My dad didn't have a very close relationship with his family, but my mom did. My mom had like seven siblings. My mom came from China when she was 16. So my mom had all her relatives are now in China. So she told me a lot of things, how her dad deal with family, how her mom deal with family. So they are separate. But do you think it's a good model when the husband and wife do not negotiate? 仔都冇得傾, 仔阿姨咩? 你搞定佢, 对吗? 孩子不听话, 你就是你的责任, 不要问我. 然后谋钱咩? 钱不够, 妈妈就说, 不关我事, 你去问你爸爸. 甚至母亲没有这个权利去过问, 问都没得问. That's why you culturize your kids to disrespect women in that way in your story, right? So the role should be intercepting. You are not there just to make sure that things are covered. 这个搞定, so it's done. So we are a happy, perfect family. But you neglect your children. And you are not here to make the family run efficiently. It's not your goal. The goal we've covered already. We want to have the emotional, psychological, spiritual health of our children. Not to make things just done. We are focusing on the process. Parenting is always a process. We have failures along the road. But it's not an end result. If you finish parenting, you say, oh, my son get into Harvard. My girl get into Stanford. So I'm done. So my parenting is 100% good. No. It's not like this. You're not making sure that some kind of end result happens. Because here, what is missing? No relationship as designed by God. And you omit one thing, your kid's emotional life. If you run your family like this, I'm sure that your kids will have a very lonely emotional development. And then if you want to influence them positively, healthily, you're not able. Because you just don't touch. You don't touch each other at home. That's why in traditional Chinese family, a lot of fathers don't even get to know how old his son or his daughters are. Not to mention that he has many wives. Right? There are some families like this. I totally can see it. When complementarity does not exist, there is a problem. Now, I'm not going into these very psychological things a lot. I just let you know what can happen to the very extreme. Now, if there is no complementarity, there would be some very negative but typical husband-wife cycles, interactive cycles. That is, husband and wife can end up being a pursuer and escaper, one chasing another. That is, as I said just now, one spouse doesn't respond, the other spouse continues to press him or press her. Give me an answer, without knowing that, oh, actually he's in a box. You have to wait until he comes out from the box. So you continue to be the spaghetti, and then you try to chase him and strangle him. So he'll run away. I learned of a couple when I was doing counseling. The husband would rather go into jail to escape the wife. So he slapped his wife a bit, and then he called police himself. The police came and got him into jail. Assault. And we found out that he'd rather go into jail for a few days than staying at home. It's a very, very bad relationship already, I tell you. So it can happen like that. It's extreme case. But the pursuer and escaper cycle, it happens in a lot of us, even in myself. At some point, I thought I could squeeze my husband to talk, but he did not. But when I kept silent afterwards, and I thought, I better stay silent and let you live out yourself. So I let him come out, and I was very silent. And the other way around, he chased me. I don't have to answer you. How come when I ask you, you don't answer? And now you expect me to answer. So we kept on monitoring the cycle in a positive way to make sure that we know what each other is doing. It's not modakau. It's not the end of your family when you have this cycle. Don't worry. But you have to monitor it. And it's related. End up one person overfunction, the other person underfunction. That is especially relating to kids. If the wife says that, okay, 講親你都唔做, 等我做埋佢啦. 你不做吗? 那我就做. You want to show that I can. Now, a lot of people are doing it this way, especially women. Okay, I will do it. If you don't do it, okay. You're still looking at your computer. I will drive the kids to Chinese school. I'll drive the kids to a swimming lesson. I will do everything. If you are not going out with me to buy the swimsuit for the kids, they've outgrown the suits already. You have to buy new suits for them. Oh, you're not going? I will do it. So, 久而久之, 你就会 overfunction. That is, you do everything. And then, 他就不用做了. He thought it's okay. And then he may even brag about it. My wife is so capable. But it turns out that you're having a very, very bad impact on your children. It affects how they see the father and mother's role. In another instance, a father can overfunction. Because the father loves his wife so much. And the wife is so used to not doing anything at home. Now, it's generational. It's something to do with her family. So the father will do everything. And it ends up, I have a story. A kid asked, a real case, but I cannot identify who that is. A kid asked his grandma. His grandma was like cleaning the washroom, and then the kid asked the grandma, "Grandma, how come that's you doing it? I believe that it should be the man's job." Because at home, he sees that his dad is doing everything, including laundry, washing his own shirt. He is overfunctioning, and then the mother is underfunctioning. And it has, now it's between you, fine. It's the way you love your wife, fine. But you have to see what's the impact on your children. You don't want your children to skew towards believing one thing. It's the hard iron fact. And now another instance is that you enable, and there's an overfunctioner, you enable an irresponsible parent. Now, enabler, this term is usually used in the relationship between a family member with a drug addict or alcohol, cigarette addict. We usually, in the psychological term, we say that if a family member enable this addict to continue to be addicted to this thing and without taking responsibility. Now, that this is the key thing, responsibility. If he messed things up, you help him to fix it. If he missed this, you provide this for him. So he doesn't see the severe consequence of being irresponsible. So you enable this person to be irresponsible. It happened to our sons and daughters as well. I told a lot of parents, when my sons were like for grade 6, there were a few occasions I let them be late to school. Right time, they should wake up. I gave them alarm. I reminded them that, okay, time to get up. They knew they heard me, but they continued to sleep. Okay, I went back to my room. And by 9 o'clock, they got up and asked me, Mom, we are late. How come that you're not telling me? I said, I told you. But it's your job. You're 11 already. You're 12 already. So you have to rush to school. Sorry, I can't help you. So this is how you get rid of being an enabler. And this helps your spouse. And this helps your children. Because you are not supposed to be the person who scoop everything that they left over at home. If they are choosy, not eating food, you finish the unfinished food. Next day, fresh food. You better keep the leftover and let them eat it next day. Now, you in order not to enable them, but your husband, your wife, has to work together with you. And you two have to complement each other, right? And the result of these things is that they just have unfulfilled emotional life, because you two are not functioning well. How are you going to have emotional intimacy with each other and with your kids? And your relationship is not functioning properly. And as I said, you handicap your role model in front of your kids. So I'm going to skip this because I think it's too much for you. It's too scary if complementarity doesn't exist. Now, in the last slide, we were saying that, okay, you're lacking emotional life, you will be like not having fulfilling relationship and your family dysfunction, you cannot role model. That's enough for you. I'm not going to talk about this anymore. So when you talk about complementarity positively, now, just now we talk about the unhealthy things that could happen. We should have an enhancing relationship. You look toward making your relationship grow. I'm trying with my husband in the past 20 plus years, and we are making some result already. We are still working in it. It's an ongoing adjustment. You will not reach the end point because you are changing and the other person is changing. You recognize your differences, but you accommodate your preferences. You just have to agree that we are different. It's not bad for you to be silent. It's not bad for you to be this. But talking about some bad habits like physically abusive, like verbally abusive, or one spouse is smoking, it's bad for the health of the children, I suggest you go for a counselor to work that out. And after recognizing that you are different, you agree to move in the same direction. For example, the husband is smoking, or the wife is smoking. Let's take it this way. Don't just label men as smokers. Okay, the wife is smoking, or she drinks alcohol, and the husband is not. It's really bad, right? And it's also not biblical. Not that the Bible prescribes us not to smoke, but it already says that we should keep our body as the temple of Christ, of the Holy Spirit. So we do not endorse those unhealthy habits. So you're different in this way. So what are you going to do? You have to agree that, oh, if the wife says, I really don't want to smoke or drink that much, I have to seek solution to help myself. So you agree that you're going to do it. It may take a long while, but at least you let your children see that we're trying to address the issue. You go for counselor, you go for therapy, you go for help. So this is for severe differences, you have to work on that. So in the context of parenting, when we talk about so much about complementarity, we just have to be clear of one thing. So when you're a father, you're a father. If you're good at drawing, or if you're good at building, you can continue to assume your role that, oh, I like to father my child. Just now we were talking about, oh, a father is supposed to be biblical, assuming a protective role. This is biblical. In Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians, in the book of Ephesians chapter 5, it says that as a husband, you have to love your wife, verse 28, if I don't remember wrong. You have to love your wife and be ready to die for her as Jesus died for the church. So as a father, you have to assume the role that you love the family and protect the family. And your mother, the mother's role in Ephesians, if I don't remember wrong, 5:22, the wife, you have to submit to your husband as the church submits to Christ. And this, as a mother, you have to model the submission in the biblical sense. And then you strive to live out your model as a mother. If you are good at nurturing, soft talks, affecting your children in a positive emotional way, go ahead and be a mother. You are supposed to be giving care to your children. If your husband is like assuming a heavier financial burden. But if both of you are doing the same, as some people already mentioned, so you have to work among yourselves. Who is doing what? According to your strength. I know of families that a father is a home caregiver. He is responsible for fixing lunches, telling the children's story, bringing them to school, and the mom is responsible for earning the bread. I see there's something wrong. But at home, the wife is still submissive to the husband. And the husband is still protective of the family. So this is the biblical thing that we cannot twist. But you can swap your roles if you find different strengths in yourself. Now, this is very fair. I'm not trying to label the role of father and mother or using the traditional model, because I know that people are just living in a different style. But you have to recognize what you are good at. And then you try to model that in front of your children. And you intentionally parent your children in the same direction, and they don't have to be like any of you. If you want your children to be like any one of you, you'll be fighting. You keep on saying that, I am better, you have to follow me. But actually, God made them as an individual. And you have to be committed to stand together. And then do not let the unhealthy interactive cycles happen. And how are you going to make your difference complementary? That is, you do not disparage your spouse. If you find that your spouse is always late, not punctual, do not do it. Do not try to rebuke your spouse in front of your children. But you talk among yourselves. And be honest with your kids. Even your kids can see that, oh, mom, she's always late. Just be honest. And if you are the mom who is always late, you have to recognize that I have to change this habit. Or I try my best. Or tell your kids, don't follow my example. Right? This is not ethical, right? When you are going for a group project and all your friends are there and you are late for 15 minutes. This is really bad. And let them decide what they like. You give them all you need to give them, but let them decide. Do not try to take hold of them and decide for them. Don't try to tell them, you look at this person as a model. No way. God made us all different. Yeah, and we encourage them to build up their own styles within acceptable limits. That's why you don't encourage them to take drugs, you don't encourage them to smoke, you don't encourage them to be sexually immoral. But these are the limits that we have to keep to. We try to encourage them to know the Word of God. And then as to what style they will end up being, you give them some freedom and see how God shaped them. Of course, you have your role, that is husband and wife. You have to be stand in a committed front and just model for them that you are actually complementing each other for their good. Make the conflicts positive, even if you have to fight You have to quarrel. Severe quarrels, don't do it in front of kids. But it happens. And the kids do happen to hear that you're quarreling. After you calm down, talk with them. And make it productive. If you, after quarreling, you reconcile and you sit down calmly and talk about what's right and what's wrong in front of your kids. For things that they can hear. And that helps them to resolve conflicts in future. Because if you show them away from other conflicts, they're not learning how to deal with conflicts. So sometimes it's unavoidable. If husband and wife have to quarrel and they cannot avoid children listening somehow, so you have to let them see. They have very, very sensitive antenna. They can sense it, even if you don't talk. So be honest with them. So it's the last few slides already. So bear in mind that we have the subsystems. You have to balance your privacy with openness. That is, now you can see there's an extra dotted line circle around the parents. That is, there are things about yourself, like just now I said, you quarrel, you have conflicts, but you selectively, constructively let your conflicts be an enriching agent to help your kids to learn. So you allow your kids to go into your subsystem a little bit, but there is a baseline that you don't let them exceed your intimacy. That is, in your husband-wife intimacy, there are things that you definitely would do not want to mess them up. But you allow them to go into your relationship a bit to see how father and mother are living with each other, how they're putting up with each other, and then they will learn. In the very bad and extreme cases I heard about in a family, the woman is so capable, so aggressive, and so dominating that her two kids and her husband are like slaves to her at home. And even outsiders can tell me that I really feel bad for the husband and for the children. But the husband is still staying, and I admire his courage. But for the kids were telling themselves, I will not get married. Or I hate getting a woman like this. I really don't like my mom. I feel bad for my dad. Now this can happen like this. And the woman and the man did not talk, and they did not resolve the differences. Obviously there are differences, and they did not involve the kids in resolving. Now they resolved, at first they had to resolve their differences. They did not involve the kids to see what they fail and what they managed to do. So the kids would just cut them off. I am not going to live with her when I grow up. I'm not going to get married. I'm not going to get a woman like her. So this is very disastrous. Really disastrous. As I mentioned already, we have to parent as a unit. And mom and dad have to take up distinct roles. I'm not going to name the roles now because they can be different in different families. And you have to communicate with them. But if you don't communicate with them, you will end up, they withdraw from you. They feel that they cannot go into your circle. You are you and I am I. So you put a barrier there, I cannot approach you. So I'm going to withdraw. So when they grow up, they will be just totally withdrawn from you. You don't like that. Even though in the Bible, it says in chapter 2, I think it's Genesis chapter 2, verse 24. So a man will leave his wife and be a man will leave his parents and be reunited with a wife. And they two become one flesh. Now it's biblical, but at the same time, you don't want your children to be totally cut off them. This is unhealthy. Because it's bad role modeling. And if they got married and then they totally abandon you, I don't think it's something that we learn from the Bible when God says that, honor your parents. Right? No matter how old they are. And you have to pick your best way to relate. If you are an artist, relate to your kids in an artistic way. If you are good at soft talk, talk with your kids. Even boys need soft talks, I tell you. If you are impatient, so avoid clashing with your sons or even daughters. And stay cool and let your wife do it or let your husband do it. So you pick your roles and see what's best for you and allow your spouse to pick up other roles. Or if both of you are really, really fiery, get an extended family in and help you. So you have to make sure that you deliver something that's constructive and positive to your children. So you have to live out the biblical role of a father and a mother. You look at what Ephesians chapter 5 tells you. And if you would want to, look at a model of a real good mother. I don't mind if you go to Proverbs 31, when it describes a beautiful woman. You try to look at that. And you know, when my sons were like 9, 10 years old, they were looking at that chapter and matching all the things with me. And tick whatever I did. They are really weird at times. But I admire their willingness to look at the Bible and to try to assess our behavior as parents against the Bible. So as a father, look at the Bible's teachings. There are a lot of teachings about how a father can do, like in Proverbs, even in Proverbs, and in Ephesians, in Timothy, the 1st and 2nd Timothy. You look at what the Bible teaches you. And then as a woman, as a mother, look at Proverbs 31. And I still insist that women should submit to the husband in most ways. Yeah, this is a good role modeling. Yeah, the relational roles, I talked about it already. Submission and protection. Fully utilize your different styles, I mentioned that already. Yeah, your roles will directly impact your kids. And gender identities. Now, I know that next time you're going to have someone talk about how parenting can influence your children's gender identities. Actually, in your complementarity, how you act like a father, how you act like a mother, whether you are an absent mother or an absent father, I saw too many of those in modern families, directly affect your children's gender identities. How I see myself as a woman, how I see myself as a guy, and what is supposed to be my role. It affects them a lot. A lot of them to do has to do with fathering and mothering. And usually it's an absent father and absent mother that depletes our children from understanding what a biblical role of a father and a mother is. So I think you'll learn a lot next time. Yeah. So I think I'll stop here.